beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Nice way to kick off a Christmas break.
I second that. GL?
You guys go ahead. I'll catch up with you later.
I'll hit you right back with GL.
How about you, big guy? Any holiday plans?
I'm afraid this season has no meaning for me.
Whoa, Frosty.
We'll have to do something about that.
Hello, folks, and welcome to day 18 of the 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas. We're almost to the home stretch here, folks, and we've still got a bunch of classic Christmas specials left to talk about. I am, of course, TFGN Mike. Joining me once again, Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And tonight we're going to be talking about the Justice League Season 2, Episode 23, Comfort and Joy. This was the Christmas episode for the first two seasons of Justice League. This is right before they did the Star-Crossed three-parter, which was the season finale of Season 2. And then, of course, they rebranded the show Justice League Unlimited and all that other stuff. You guys know the history of it. But basically, Comfort and Joy kind of follows the Holiday Nights kind of previous thing from yesterday, where we have three different stories. It's all tied together very nicely, but it's basically, whereas in Holiday Nights, there's three different individual stories in the new Batman Adventures, but here it's all one story, but it's separated into three different groups. You got GL and Hot Girl, you got Flash, and you got Superman and John Jones, Martian Manhunter. And the cool thing
it was kind of nice to see their different perspectives on Christmas, and like basically it's aliens with Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Or Christmas with the aliens.
Yes. This one was written by Paul Dini. It was directed by Butch Luchik or Lukic, I forget how to say his name. Basically, we open up with the Justice League on an alien planet working together to assemble a machine that will prevent it from colliding with another planet, thus saving its population. Green Lantern and Superman basically teach Hot Girl and Martian Manhunter about the Earth's holiday season. In the Green Lantern Hot Girl part, Green Lantern remembers, the beauty of the snow and going sledding and snowball fights and all that stuff. And Hot Girl then takes him to a distant planet and her idea of celebration, which is basically ending in a bar fight. So, yeah. Opposites attract, folks.
Robot bar fight.
Yep. I think the two centerpieces of this story are the Flash story and Superman and John, because Flash is basically out to get DJ Rub-A-Ducky. Oh my
god. DJ Rub-A-Ducky.
I don't know what this toy is supposed to be basically I don't know what
rat balls.
Yeah, something. It's supposed to reference something, but I'm not exactly sure what it's supposed to reference. I don't know. So Flash has to get that for the kids at the orphanage, and we run into Ultra Humanite and all that. I think for me, the most interesting part of this is the Superman and Jean story, because Superman and John are both aliens, and they both came from worlds that are basically Mars is still there, but it's essentially a dead planet, even though we've found water on it. And obviously, Superman's planet,
Why are all the DC heroes orphans?
I don't know. Well, not all of them.
Basically.
John, Superman, Batman.
They're the last sons of planets.
Well, two out of the three. The other one's the last son of the city.
They're orphaned.
Yep.
Just like Bruce.
That's, yeah.
Barry.
Oh, well, people might be wondering, where the hell is Bruce? Where the hell is Batman? And I believe Jean mentions in the very beginning, or either Jean or Superman says, he wanted monitor duty. He's not really a Christmas kind of guy. So apparently Batman's up in the watchtower doing monitor duty this whole time. What I love about this is we get to see Clark at home, and it's very rare. We've seen Clark Kent in Justice League. Obviously, if you look at the first three-parter that opened the series in The Secret Origins, in that three-parter, you know, Clark uses his reporter status and things like that. But most of the time in the Justice League cartoon, it's pretty much all Superman. There's been maybe four or five total times he's been Clark Kent during the series. So that's why I like this, is we actually get to go back home to Kansas, to Smallville, or wherever the hell they are, and, you know, and actually see his home life. We get to see Ma and Pa Kent. We hear that Batgirl and Supergirl are off skiing in Aspen, so that's kind of funny and interesting and cool. I just love seeing John's slow way to commit to accepting all of the niceness and the holiday feelings and whatever else. And obviously by the end, you know, he's embraced it. What did you think when you watched this? You know, because to my knowledge, I know you've seen the Justice League show and stuff, but it's not like your favorite. You don't dislike it, but...
No, I like it. I like it because it's got all the DC Animated Universe people in it.
Yeah.
So, no, it's... definitely awesome. I just I think it was kind of cool to see a different perspective for once, as far as like you know, the characters were concerned, and for the holidays, and you know, rather than having the same old showing up all the time like what usually happens.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. With some trivia bit, you know, trivia bits here, we got, let's see, the episode-based tribute to John's fondness for Oreo cookies, as well as established in the comics. The carol being sung in the church when John arrives is "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." It establishes the fact that the Kents wrap their presents in lead to prevent X-ray vision peeking.
Ha ha! That's funny.
And obviously, thanks to his parents, Superman still believes in Santa Claus.
So that's why John hung around.
Yep. Pretty much.
He had to dress up as the fat clown.
Ha ha ha! Funny. I really did enjoy this episode because this, like I said, it comes between Star-Crossed. Star-Crossed is the next episode, and then...
you mean before they exiled Hawk Girl?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For being a dirty, dirty tramp?
Yeah. That's one way to put it.
She was a hoe.
Okay.
To put it nicely.
Uh-huh. Put some back in that hole. Oh, boy. All right, so comfort and joy. It's fun, folks. It's very interesting. And that was one of my things of... So we're up to day 18 here on 25 Days of Christmas. I did not want to include day 17 and day 18 in the 2015 action block, which was day 8, where we had Transformers Animated Human Error parts 1 and 2, Santa Claus or Cobra Claus is coming to town, and Real Ghostbusters Xmas Hits the Spot, because these did deserve their own special episodes. And Comfort and Joy is just, as you said, it's an interesting look at these characters. You know, who knows how Wonder Woman... I don't even think Wonder Woman would celebrate Christmas unless she was with Batman. And Batman was stuck up on monitor duty because he liked it so much. And having Superman, Hawkgirl, Green Lantern, and Sean be the focus of this one... what I like to think, and I think this is kind of the point of the episode, is that all of these three adventures are kind of happening all at the same time. So that's why you don't see Flash anywhere else than where he is, because they're all doing different things at the, you know, during the holidays.
Well, he's hanging out with the Trickster.
No, he's hanging out with the Humanite. But yeah. All right, folks, you're going to get a few more days of 25 Days to Cast Beyond Christmas. Next up, we've got day 19, where we're going to talk about Kim Possible's episode, A Very Possible Christmas. You ever watch that show, Kim Possible?
Yep.
Okay, good.
I used to watch a lot of stuff back in the day.
Good, good, good. Because it actually ties into the DCAU.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Batman Beyond.
Terry McGinnis. Yep. Will Friedle was Ron Stoppable. So.
But he was stoppable.
Anyway. Where can the people find you online, sir?
Canada.
No, you don't want to go to America Junior?
Texas.
Online, dummy.
Oh, that place that we all pretend we live. That would be SCP-21 on the Twitters.
There you go. I am at TFGU and Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. Oh, God, I cannot talk. Join us tomorrow when we talk about Kim Possible's A Very Possible Christmas. And then after that, we've got 6 days left where we talk about the classics. Charlie Brown, Grinch, Grandma.
Got run over by a reindeer.
Yeah. Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July. Oh, my God. Someone help us now. And, of course, Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So we will catch you tomorrow here on Tooncast Beyond's 25 Days Tooncast Beyond Christmas.
Space all the time, but sliding down a snowy hill makes you shriek like a child.
Each winter, my grandmother would take me sledding in the park. It was the best part of Christmas.
With all respect to your grandmother, I don't see what's so special about the snow. That's clever.
How about this? It's a snow angel. See my wings?
Right. Hey, what was that for?
It's supposed to be fun.
Okay, let's have fun.
Whoa! Lady, you are asking for it.
Bring it on, snowman!